inhabited by those known as the Osirgani. The craft worlds are continent-sized interstellar fortresses, each one representing a small, preserved fragment of Eldari civilization. All craft worlds are self-sufficient, independent realms with their own culture, histories, and traditions. They are marvels of grace and beauty. Colossal wraith-bone vessels, they sparkle like scattered jewels upon a pall of velvet as they drift in isolation in the vastness of the void. Distant from planets or the warmth of stars, their many domes gaze into the darkness of empty space, while their inner lights glisten like phosphorus through semi-transparent surfaces. Ulthwe, one of the most populous craft worlds to escape the fall, Ulthwe is home to many extremely powerful psykers. For 10,000 years, they have kept an endless vigil over the Eye of Terror. Of all the surviving craft worlds, Ulthwe has remained closest to that seething warp rift, which serves as an inescapable reminder of their race's downfall. This memory drives them to fight hard against chaos, not just for themselves, but for their entire species and the galaxy as a whole. Perhaps due to the close proximity Ulthwe has maintained with the Eye of Terror for millennia, more of its citizens follow the path of the Seer than those of other craft worlds. Not only do they find their latent psychic gifts easier to tap into, but those on the Witch Path also discover that their abilities are typically greater than those of their counterparts on other craft worlds. In light of their closeness to the Eye of Terror and the apparent power it gives them, some Osirgani call the people of Ulthwe the Damned. Those of Ulthwe know the truth. Without the power of the warp they manipulate, their race would have suffered many more calamities than they actually did over the past 10,000 years. The Seer Council of Ulthwe constantly seeks to change the course of history in favor of the Eldari. Every action it takes is carefully considered to ensure the best outcome for the craft world, maximize damage to the enemy, and minimize casualties. Using the power of the Immaterium, they cast their runes and gaze into the future, foreseeing events with even greater precision than others of their kind. The insights they glean dictate exactly where and when the warriors of Ulthwe should strike at the foe. At any one time, Ulthwe may have hundreds of strike forces deployed, each one attacking with serpentine swiftness through hidden webway portals. Many of the battles they fight seem disconnected. To ignorant observers, some conflicts even appear to work against the craft world, or to nullify the achievements of other wars. Yet, the Seers work with a more long-term perspective than many could understand. Ultimately, the Ulthwe Osirgani act to preserve their own race. If killing a million humans would save a single Eldari life, they would order the slaughter gladly. On occasion, the enemy's numbers will be too great for the craft world to defeat, or the expected casualties of a battle will be intolerably high. In such circumstances, the Seer Council is more than prepared to manipulate lesser races to their advantage, and will readily trick them into unwittingly fighting and dying on behalf of the Eldari. With more citizens following the path of the Seer on Craftworld Ulthway, there are fewer to take up the path of the Warrior, resulting in a lesser number of Ulthway Aspect Warriors available for war. To make up the shortfall of fighting troops, the craft world utilizes guardians in a different way. Rather than being a militia mobilized in times of need, the Black Guardians of Ulthway are a professional fighting force. Few races understand the dangers of chaos like the Eldari, and the Seers of Ulthway see the Imperium of Man following their own ancestors' footsteps into apocalyptic decline. This causes them to despair. Though they care little about the destruction of mankind, they fear that the roaring fires of such an event would consume the Eldari also, and allow the forces of Chaos and other Xenos races to take advantage of that power vacuum. The Seers of Ulthway believe the Great Rift to be the latest and most drastic step towards the ultimate annihilation of the galaxy. Though not a people to ignore such dangers, those of Ulthway are beset with a civil strife that has hampered their ability to respond. This stems from the division of Ulthway's people into three main factions. The first and largest of these still follows the Seer Council, which now dispatches strike forces along the length of the Great Rift to stymie the arch enemy. The second group, known as the Exiles, follow Eldred Ulthryn, the former High Farseer, cast out for his involvement with the growing cult of Yenid, God of the Dead. The third and final group are the Yenari, those of Craftworld Ulthway, who now follow Yenid themselves. While all three of these factions often fight side by side, the skeins of fate are so twisted that they have also found cause to come to blows on occasion. The world rune the people of Ulthway take as their symbol represents the sorrow of Isha, the fertility goddess from whom the Eldari believe they are descended. It is said that she wept bitterly when Osirion, king of the gods, ordered her separation from her mortal children. Vol forged her tears into glittering spirit stones that her grief might not be in vain. Today, the warriors of Ulthway bear this sigil as a poignant reminder of the link with godhood they lost long ago. Like this world rune, the name of Craftworld Ulthway is itself derived from Eldari mythology. being a contraction of Othonash Shalwe, the Song of Othonash, this ancient ballad also includes the Lay of Eldanish, whose subject is the most revered of all Eldari heroes. Aletok. The Asernyani of Craftworld Aletok keep a watchful eye on distant events thanks to their extensive network of agents and outcasts. The reach of their influence is great indeed, and Aletok warriors are able to strike far afield from the Craftworld itself. Aletok's subterfuge extends to the battlefield, where its hosts fight with stealth and misdirection. For them, a victory won with guile is greater than one secured with brute force. The Aletok are puritanical adherents to the path, to the extent that even other Asernyani consider them extremists. While their acute concentration and strict shunning of outside influences shields them greatly from their own weaknesses and from She Who Thirsts, such rigid self-control is impossible to maintain for some of their number. Consequently, the proportion of Aletok adherents who become trapped upon their chosen path is higher than that of most other craft worlds. Many others abandon the path entirely, preferring instead to indulge their repressed desires far from the domes and spires of Aletok. Although many of those who leave Aletok are disenchanted with its ideals, the majority remain loyal to their craft world. They understand why there is such insistence on following the rigors of the path, even if it is a standard they felt they could not or did not want to meet. Wherever they go, these Asernyani are willing to undertake dangerous missions for their craft world. Aletok has agents within Kamara, the dark city of the Drukhari, aboard other craft worlds, on human capital worlds, in rogue trader fleets, and among corsair warbands throughout the galaxy. Some of those who join the Corsairs become fleet masters in their own right, and are willing to bring their ships to Aletok's aid if needed. Many other scattered scions of Aletok become rangers, some of whom lose themselves to the path of the outcasts, in the same manner as exarchs upon the path of the warrior. Known as pathfinders, these outcasts are preternaturally skilled in the arts of concealment and infiltration. They become near invisible assassins, felling foes with pinpoint shots from great distances. The rangers of Aletok have become synonymous with their craft world, and it is from these nomadic individuals that the Imperium has gleaned much of its knowledge of the Eldari. More Aletok Asernyani wander the stars than those of almost any other craft world, placing them at a naturally greater risk of being captured by humans. The information these unfortunate individuals have revealed to mankind is not freely given. Instead, it is extracted from them through excruciation at the hands of the Inquisition. This is something Craftworld Aletok has not taken kindly to, and its people have waged an endless war of retribution against the Imperium. The Aletok Osirnjani use their network of agents and the scryings of their seers to assemble a picture of the galaxy's political and military events almost unequaled in its detail. They have learned of the growing Tyranid threat in the Octarius sector, the Death Guard's infection of the Caradon sector, and the potential doom facing the Levenir archipelago. Aletok Rangers have also disrupted orc migrations drawn to the magnetic pool of Ghazkul Thraka. Such awareness enables Aletok war hosts to stay multiple steps ahead of their enemies. Weaving vital scouting information with the insights of their farseers, they gain an incredibly detailed understanding of a war zone before they commit to the battle. To further improve their position, they deploy Rangers, Pathfinders, Shroud Runners, and similar troops to wreak havoc among the enemy while remaining unseen. These warriors feint from multiple directions to cause confusion, picking off commanders to make it harder for the foe to respond effectively. Only once the enemy is terrified, exhausted, and in total disarray do the Craftworld's aspect warriors and war engines attack, driving the assault home with the cold discipline characteristic of their Craftworld. Rangers then move in to support their kin, striking down more foes with their long rifles, precision weapons accurate enough to pick out the weakest points in a target's armor from extreme distances. Few enemies can handle this combined assault, as those who escape Aletok's aspect warriors are ruthlessly pursued by the Craftworld's wrathful rangers. Aletok's greatest enemies are the Necrons, the Craftworld's long-feared prophecies of a threat awakening after thousands of years have now been proven true. As a result, they are using the fragments of a once great crystalline map that marked all of the galaxy's tomb worlds. In conjunction with intelligence gathered from allies, to orchestrate the war against the Necron menace. Aletok warriors launch preemptive strikes against this ancient foe, often alongside Harlequins of the Mask of the Dreaming Shadow. One of their greatest successes has been the elimination of the entire Hrek dynasty on the very day of its ascension. Those of Aletok greatly fear the danger posed by the Pariah Nexus, the black stone array constructed by the Necrons that suppresses the warp to such an extent that those within it are reduced to soulless husks. Some Eldari call it the Sea of Dead Stars. They were first warned of this by the Craftworld's foremost visionary, Lakushai, who composed the Prophecy of Risen Doom. Aletok's Craftworlders have yet to become involved in the civil discord that has challenged their species following the emergence of the Yennari. Whereas other craft worlds have been split between those wishing to side with that growing cult and those who see it as misguided and dangerous. The Star Strider's strong sense of loyalty has kept them more close-knit. So too has their ability to resist the distraction of outside influences that might lure them from the rigors of the path. Beeltan. The Osirnani of Beeltan are the most militant of their kind. Though their home has been shattered, their numbers depleted, and their thoughts consumed by bitterness, they still believe they can restore the Eldari race to its former glory. Thus, they continue their campaign of xenocide against the galaxy's lesser races. In their quest to restore the Eldari as the dominant species of the galaxy, a greater proportion of Beeltan's people are on the path of the warrior than the Osirnani of other craft worlds, and many of these become exarchs. Those of Beeltan know full well that a new empire will only be forged in the crucible of battle, tempered in strife and quenched in blood. Among the craft world's ruling authorities is the Court of the Young King, a body of exarchs who have all in their time held its titular role. The Young King is a year-long position fulfilled by an aspect warrior who, if required, will be sacrificed to rouse the Avatar of Kane. In the presence of the Avatar, the rage of Beeltan's warriors is heightened, and, having already abandoned such concepts as tolerance and mercy in their quest to restore their race, they are driven to acts of bloody slaughter that exceed even the bloodbaths they normally inflict. The warriors of Beeltan are known as the Ba'zakain, meaning the sword wind. Other translations include tempest of blades or frozen leaves falling to cut, depending on the inflection. These forces strike surely and swiftly, relying on a sudden and devastating assault, as well as the martial prowess of the Aspect warriors to win the day. The Osirnani of Beeltan see maiden worlds and exodite worlds as links to their race's glorious past, as well as vital future staging posts for when the time comes to reclaim rulership of the galaxy. Once barren, these planets were seeded many years before the fall, so that each is now a lush paradise. Beeltan war hosts respond to alien incursions upon these worlds with particular ferocity. They especially detest orcs, whose invasive, destructive, and prolific nature poses an enormous risk to the maiden worlds. Countless unsuspecting explorers from numerous races have also discovered these beautiful planets, only to be slaughtered within days or even hours of arriving. It was while defending a maiden world that Beeltan found itself facing disaster. On the planet Ursulia, the Sword Wind was battling a Slaaneshi force led by the demon known as the Mask. Through deceit and cunning, the Mask broke the wards on a long-sealed webway gate and led her diabolical followers into Beeltan itself. Once within the craft world, the Mask succeeded in breaching and contaminating its infinity circuit. It was only through the timely intervention of Yvraine and her Yennari followers that the demonic host was defeated. The emissary of Yenid used the death of Beeltan's infinity circuit to create the Incarnate, the avatar of Yenid. Though it took the sacrifice of many Asurnyani souls for the creature to be formed. This event caused a psychic shockwave that damaged the structural integrity of the entire craft world. Despite the Eldari's eventual victory, Beeltan was shattered by the effects of both the demonic invasion and Yvraine's drastic action. Entire segments of the craft world were left blackened, rotted, or barren, and many of its solar sails were shredded. Originally an Ark of Salvation, constructed from multiple Eldari ships, Beeltan's fracturing saw these constituent parts fall from its wraithbone skeleton like petals from a frozen flower. A significant proportion of the craft world's population now lives upon this ancient fleet of void ships, while Bonesingers work tirelessly to prevent the world ship from falling apart entirely. Beeltan's ghost halls swell with newly animated wraithbone constructs that bear the souls the infinity circuit can no longer protect. Though half of Beeltan's people have been killed in battle or have departed to join the Yennari, those who remain are as convinced as ever that the Eldari Empire can be remade, and that the Sword Wind will be the deliverer of their race's salvation and renewed dominance. For Beeltan, winter has fallen, but the people of this craft world remain stubbornly convinced that spring will return. Its world rune stands for reincarnation, and its name loosely translates as Rebirth of Ancient Days. With the shattering of Beeltan helping to give rise to the Yennari, also known as the Reborn, many Eldari now wonder if perhaps the craft world's fracture and Yenid's potential awakening represented the true meaning of the rune all along. Eendin. One of the greatest craft worlds, Eendin, is now a place of ghosts and unsettled spirits as much as an abode of the living. Great disaster has befallen this world vessel, yet its people do not give in to despair. Instead, they call ever more of their fallen back into their craft world's fight for survival. There was a time when the great wraithbone spires and domes of Eendin were home to billions of Asurnyani. For millennia, they worked with craft world Beeltan, purging threats from the eastern reaches of the galaxy while their cousins fought in the west. The two craft worlds shared the goal of building a new Eldari empire, as well as defeating Chaos. Though this alliance eventually frayed, Eendin remained a great power. Then came the Tyranids. Eendin had prevailed against the Tyranids before, those of Hive Fleet Naga, and this victory bred an overconfidence that led them to underestimate the danger posed by Hive Fleet Kraken. When this new threat assailed their craft world, millions of Osirnjani were slain. It was only the timely arrival of the outcast Prince Yrael and his Eldritch Raiders that saved Eendin from total annihilation. Though victory was won, so much damage was inflicted that the craft world could never fully recover. Its population was reduced to a fraction of its former strength. The world vessel itself was on the verge of collapse, adrift upon solar tides. The losses suffered by the Osirnjani of Eendin have led them to rely heavily on the Wraithbone constructs that now form the foundation of their armies. Indeed, these almost always outnumber the craft world's living warriors. Though these creations are formidably tough and wield powerful weapons, their deployment comes at a great mortal price. Wraith constructs are inhabited by the souls of Eendin's dead. If these ghost warriors were not required for their craft world's ongoing battle for survival, the seers of Eendin would leave their spirits to rest in the Infinity Circuit. Instead, they resurrect the souls to fight again and again. The process by which this is achieved is seen by many Osirnjani as a kind of necromancy. The soul must be summoned from the Infinity Circuit and housed in a spirit stone, which is then interred within the Wraithbone shell of a construct. Should the ghost warrior be destroyed, the Osirnjani will strive to recover the spirit stone and either place it within another shell or return it to the Infinity Circuit. There is a great danger in this endeavor, however. In battle, the spirit stone may be destroyed, and the soul within consumed by she who thirsts. Alternatively, the stone may become lost beyond recovery, becoming helpless prey to the elements and denizens of some distant planet. For those Wraith constructs and spirit stones that do survive battle's end, an eternal cycle of war lies ahead. For the galaxy is a dangerous place, and Eendin is vulnerable indeed. Eendin's Wraith constructs are guided by the Spirit Seers. These strange psykers bridge the gap between the real world of the living and the spirit world of the dead, providing clarity and focus for the ghost warriors. In doing so, they experience the deep sorrow of the fallen, and are forced to relive the great tragedies of the past over and over. Since High Fleet Kraken's invasion, many of Eandyn's dead no longer sleep. Wraith hosts are kept active at all times, maintaining a constant vigil over the living, as they hold ready to respond swiftly to threats faced by the craft world. Such is the calamity that has befallen Eandyn, that for its people, even death is no release from the pain of life. The Wraith warriors have proven to be much needed, for fate has seen to it that their craft world has faced many more dangers since High Fleet Kraken's invasion. Eandyn's hosts have fended off Imperial fleets, Orc assaults, Necrons of the Sawtek dynasty, further Tyranid terrors, and no fewer than 3 demonic incursions since the opening of the Dath Dian. Of all the Osirniani, the people of Eandyn feel the most sympathy with the Inari, not least the great Eandyn spirit seer, Iana Arianal. On a deeper level, Eandyn Osirniani have a powerful bond with the spirits of their fallen, one more profound than those of other craft worlds. If any would readily accept the Inari's message that only the dead can save the living, it is they. Osirniani is the oldest and greatest of the ancient Eldari deities. He is the father of the gods, the ancestor of all living things. The world rune of the Eandyn craft world means light in the darkness, a reference to the ever-burning shrine that honors Osirniani, a flame of hope for Eandyn's beleaguered people. Same on. The jet bike riding kindreds of Same on are renowned for their preference for fast mobile warfare, striking as a serpent before falling back beyond the reach of retaliation. Theirs is a craft world of ancient tradition and a proud warrior culture. Almost all of Same Han's Osirniani, including their seers, belong to one of the craft world's hundreds of wild rider clans. Each clan is led by a wild rider chieftain, who takes the role of an autarch and forms their closest family and finest warriors into a group known as the Kinsmen. Outside of battle, this group acts as a chieftain's advisors and counselors. On the eve of conflict, they paint their faces with hot blood and prepare to fight together as brothers and sisters. In the same way, the warriors of jet bike and vehicle squadrons are blood relatives and tend to carry banners showing the clan's rune as well as family heraldry. Familial ties are all important to the same Han, and they only cast these aside when they serve as aspect warriors. According to legend, Same Han was one of the very first craft worlds to escape the Eldari homeworlds before the fall. Of all the craft worlds, its culture is most similar to that of the Exodites. Many of its people even spend a portion of their lives living with those Eldari. The people of Saemhaun also observe many dangerous rites. A result of their relatively early separation from the old Eldari Empire. One such practice is Koltes, a high-velocity race against a clan elder to earn the right to ride a jet bike in battle. Saemhaun craftworlders also conduct much ritual combat, referring it to the long debates used by other craft worlds to settle disputes, which they see as unnecessarily time-consuming. These ritualized duels make decisions that all Saemhaun Asurnyani agree to, even those most fiercely opposed to the outcome. Though these cultural practices lead many Asurnyani to call the Saemhaun barbarous, none can doubt their sense of honor. In preparation for war, many Saemhaun warriors make verbal agreements with their kin, which they seal by drinking from each other's slashed wrists. To break one of these vows is to become disgraced exiles. The Asurnyani of Saemhaun are possessed of great pride in their culture and personal abilities. This serves them well, though in the past it has led them to unnecessary wars, including some with other craft worlds. The Wild Rider clans are free to choose to go to war or not when a cause arises. This is unlike other craft worlds, where any mass mobilization is typically ordered by the seers and autarchs. Some clans will go to war without the assistance or even the approval of the others, though due to their impetuous nature, other clans will often follow when one commits its forces. When cooperating in conflicts, Wild Rider clans each follow their own chieftains, but also form a loose alliance under the banner of the Cosmic Serpent, the craft world symbol. In Eldari myth, the serpent is the only creature believed to exist in both the material and the psychic universes at the same time. Hence, the serpent is said to know all secrets, past and present. Saemhaun means quest for enlightenment. As the Eldari word for snake and secret knowledge is identical to Saem. The Asurnyani of Saemhaun emblazon their world rune on their banners, armor, the cowlings of their vehicles. The savagery of Saemhaun warriors has earned the craft world a fierce reputation across the galaxy. Keen practitioners of the devastatingly rapid assault, the wild host fall upon their enemies in a blur of crimson attack craft, screaming war cries as they do so. Their sheer ferocity forces the enemy back, buying the Saemhaun Asurnyani time to swing around and attack again. The kindreds excel at mimicking the strike of a serpent, accelerating from a standstill to a breathtaking speed before delivering a lethal blow. Wanderers of the stars. across the galaxy, floating in the enveloping cosmic darkness, there can be found many dozens of craft worlds, each with its own history, heraldry, and philosophies of war. Some are small and reclusive, keeping themselves far from the eyes of even their own kin on other craft worlds. Others are large and comparatively populous, and have earned fame and notoriety in their own right. Altansar. When Slaanesh surged into existence, Altansar found itself on the cusp of the Eye of Terror. Despite fighting valiantly over a period of 500 agonizing years, the craft world was swallowed by the warp. Only the Phoenix Lord, Maogan Ra, appeared to have escaped. For millennia, Altansar was considered lost. However, as the Eye opened wide at the end of the 41st millennia, Maogan Ra undertook a great odyssey that culminated in the rescue of his lost people. Since their reemergence, the people of Altansar have been distrusted by their kin and viewed with suspicion. Some whisper that they are tainted by their ordeal, while others say they entered a dread pact with Yanid. Perhaps the rumors are based in truth, for the voices of the Altansar craft worlders are but whispers, and their pale, deathly features are those of ones trapped in a shadowy half-life. The world rune of Altansar is the Broken Chain. Once a reference to Kurnos and Isha's escape from the dungeons of Cain, this emblem has taken on a deeper meaning since Altansar's mysterious escape from the Eye of Terror. Ybrasil. Structured around a largely matriarchal society, Ybrasil includes more female warriors within its ranks than any other craft world. For millennia uncounted, the Howling Banshees have formed the vanguard of Ybrasil's war hosts, falling upon their foes amidst a cacophony of paralyzing war cries. The legends of Ybrasil tell of a pact their ancestors made with the goddess Mor-I Heg. 7 times 7 of Ybrasil's warrior women became the crone's deathly handmaidens, so their sisters might enjoy especially long and fruitful lives, free of her cursing touch. The craft world has a disproportionately high female population to this day. In these dark times, the people of Ybrasil are driven to hunt for crone worlds, for they hope to secure not only the Tears of Isha, but also ancient technologies and doomsday artifacts with which to tip the balance of fate. Ybrasil's rune, Wisdom from Pain, represents the tale of the crone Mor-I Heg, who convinced Cain to sever her hand that she might sup the wisdom in her blood. Such are the sacrifices that must be made for enlightenment. Lugganoth. Perceived as little better than piratical corsairs by other craft worlds, the Asurnari of Lugganoth foster close ties with the Harlequins and and have largely abandoned the material realm as a lost cause and seceded into the webway. Lugganoth's warriors enter real space only to raid for what they need, striking with a rapidity and suddenness impressive even for the Eldari. Reports of Corsair fleets operating out of Lugganoth are common, notably the Sunblitz Brotherhood, whose vessels often fight alongside those of Lugganoth's navy in times of war. Despite keeping such questionable company, Lugganoth's people bear no love for their dark kindred, the Drukhari, and the two have clashed on numerous occasions, both within the webway and without. Lugganoth's name means Light of Fallen Suns. Their world rune, the Black Sun, is a reference to the lost glory of the original Eldari star systems. If a viewer were to look far enough into the void, it would be able to perceive the last light of those dead stars, as close to a metaphor for hope as the Eldari of Lugganoth know. Ilkaith. In the endless war against the Dark Gods, the Osirnani of Ilkaith are a keen and vengeful blade, and will ally with Kamarah and even the armies of mankind to see their goals achieved. Their impossible quest has doomed Ilkaith to generations of relentless warfare. Even the craft world's name, translated as Knowledge of Blood, has changed meaning. Where once their title spoke of the gifts passed down through the generations and the blessings of their ancestry, in the last few millennia, it has become a promise of war. Once, Ilkaith was renowned for the exquisite art of its bone singers. Now, these same craftsmen have turned their skills to creating only weapons and accompanying the war hosts to battle to heal wraith constructs and engines of Vol. The Eldari of Ilkaith take the helm of Eldanish as their symbol. Myth tells that Osirnan gave Eldanish this all-seeing helm, thanks to which he slew many terrible foes. Eldanish used the helm to see his own future, and saw his death at the hands of Cain. To the Ilkaith, the symbol reminds them that knowledge can have a terrible cost. Ymilach. The war smiths of Ymilach toil endlessly to craft gigantic machines of destruction. Masterful and prolific in their efforts, they ensure that their war hosts are always furnished with the finest engines of Vol, and are able to field a great number of titans and super heavy engines when they go to war. Ymilach's warriors are almost always delivered to battle aboard grav tank transports, while fire prisms and night spinners provide supporting fire. Though the wraith constructs of Ymilach are but few in number, there are tales among the Eldari that their weaponsmiths have created a new and devastating weapon powered by the souls of the dead. It is a device so terrible in potency that Yamilak have never dared to use it. It is whispered that it can scour entire continents of life in mere minutes. The souls of the living torn from their bodies by a vast coast storm. The crucible of souls, the symbol of Yamilak, is the spiritual forge within which Vol created the 99 and 1 swords of Vol. For the Asunyani of Yamilak, this rune represents their belief that the fate of the race is still theirs to forge. Mai Mira. After the fall, Mai Mira was cast far out into the galactic wilderness. For millennia, the craft world sailed the void alone, thinking themselves the last of the Eldari. Its citizens turned inwards, focusing upon the glories of the past, for they believed that without them, the memory of their race would fade away forever. During its long isolation, Mimira was forced to fight for its survival against rampaging orcs and the ever-expanding boundaries of the Imperium. In these bloody wars, a great number of Mimira's people fell, though they took many millions of enemies to the grave with them. Alone and outnumbered, the craft world learned well the ways of stealth and how best to conceal their worldship. In time, fate reunited them with their kindred, who found them to be highly cunning and resourceful. The symbol of Mimira is the cursing eye. This is derived from ancient tales of Asurnyan's deadly gaze that perceives and kills in the same instant. It reminds those who wear it that an enemy revealed must be destroyed before it can threaten the noble Eldari race.